Love your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, so what we're going to do is talk personal finance with Paul Rilifsa. We're going to talk personal finance with Paul Rilifsa, our certified financial planner, and his abiding message is financial freedom. Right? How do we plan for retirement? How do we plan for a comfortable and happy retirement? How do we plan for a retirement in which we are sure, stress-free, worry-free, living within our means, and happy? And part of that is taking into account the cost of raising a child. And Paul has done some calculations there around what we ought to think about when raising our children, when having children, and just understanding the cost thereof. And he's going to bring up some rather interesting points around how our attitude to money, saving, investing will ultimately affect our children's future as well. But Paul, good morning. Always a pleasure.
Hi, Rafael. Yes, great to talk to you again. And it's such an important subject, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially this time of year when we, our little ones are sort of getting ready for the next year. Some are going to school for the first time. Some are leaving school and, perhaps going to some kind of tertiary education as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought crosses one's mind in terms of how costly it is to bring up a child. I did a little bit of research just in Britain alone, in Great Britain, and we see there that per annum it costs about £7,000 per year to raise a child. And comparatively here, it's around about 140,000 rand if one takes into account all sorts of things, in terms of, clothing, education, extramural activities, etc. And on a straight line projection, the figures are quite horrific. I mean, up to 18 on a straight line projection, you're probably looking at about 1.6 million rand to raise a child.
By the time the child reaches 18 years old.
18, correct.
Yeah.
And, it's something that cannot be ignored in your budget. It's something that you have to really pay close attention to. And but there are things that you can do to prepare for it, as you said in the introduction. Your financial freedom doesn't just come to you. It's part of a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to try your utmost to realize what you're going to need in the future.
Yeah.
And start setting aside the relative sort of savings and investments to accommodate those costs.
So the sort of projections that or the scenario that you're looking at is a South African middle income household, right? Spending about 1,600,000 rand by the time that child reaches 18 years old. The main costs involved in that calculation, what are they?
Well, it's education, obviously, and education doesn't come cheaply. When one looks at inflation in the education space, it normally goes up higher than the normal prevailing rate of inflation. It's probably about 2 or 3 percentage points higher.
Sure.
And what that speaks to is obviously the maintenance costs of schools and all the various activities inside the school. By the time they assess all of that and translate that into a monthly fee for school fees, it tends to go higher than the rate of inflation. But then there's these other things that people in the middle class, aspire to. They want their children to do extramural activities. And they don't come for free. I mean, it's anything from karate classes to ballet to music lessons to sports. Some schools don't offer the sports that our children want and need or aspire to. So that often translates again into some kind of extra play groups and things. So when you bundle those together, and we're looking at average here, we're not talking about the top end.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You quite easily get to that figure, Rafuli. I think in the context of that, we need to be very mindful of how do we get our children, how do we navigate them through and find that space where we can give them what they want, but at the same time, don't destroy the family budget at the same time.
Sure.
And
how often, Paul, I'm just going to interject there and get a sense, from you know, maybe some anecdotal kind of feedback, a sense in, from your own experience. You know, you're talking about the sort of aspirational nature of middle class or middle income household lives and spending. How often do you see parents making decisions around nice to haves, whether it's clothes or whether it is activities, and whether it's even the schools? You know, you could send your child to that school where you're paying that $2,000, $3,000 a month, or you're going to essentially break the bank and send them to the higher end schools or the most expensive schools in the province. How often do you find, you know, clients of yours or people that you advise trying to do that? And how long does the game last for them, essentially?
Well, it's found on the balance sheet because, you know, in the financial plan, that's one of the starting points. And if you find that you've got a very lean balance sheet where you've got a lot of debt, yet you still have your children in top end schools, and you're not accommodating those costs within your living expenses, but you're having to lean on some form of credit to try and get your children to school. That's a huge warning sign. That's where you've got to start saying let's take some drastic measures now, because quite often you shouldn't actually have your child in a private school if you can't afford it. And it's a hard call for a parent, because your parent desperately wants that. And in the short end, well, the short-term solution is to go and borrow some money for that. But invariably, as you've alluded to, invariably that space, that time catches up, and very quickly for that matter. And then you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, proverbially, because you can't afford to send continuing with your child on that pathway because the household is going down in terms of its budget. And it's a hard call. And I should imagine even after the pandemic with people losing jobs and things, there are probably a lot of families that have had to make that call where they say, sorry, my child, I cannot send you to private school any longer. You're going to have to take the mainstream, you know, and go back to some kind of government.
Sure. Yeah.
And they're hard lessons. But the point is, in preparation of that, make very sure that you can comfortably afford your children's education costs within your monthly budget and not have to lean on some form of debt. Mm.
Your tips and your recommendations for, of course, you know, putting away money or being able to pay for those unexpected costs or those, you know, it's costs that come up throughout the year related to education, activities, etc. What are those?
Well, here again, you probably find some service providers. You're going to phone me on Monday and have some complaints when I'm saying this. And I don't think the answer is education policy. You know, a lot of the options out there in terms of products are wrapped up in all sorts of, you know, various ways. You know, an endowment policy is an endowment policy. And it is a way to start saving. But it's not necessarily the way. And you get a lot of, you know, packaged products, calling them education policies. And you get this idea that if I put a few rand into that, I'm going to be, you know, catered for in the future. But I don't think an endowment policy is necessarily the first and only vehicle. I think that as a parent, I'd like to see, or as a financial planner talking to a parent, I'd like to see, first of all, some form of savings. But those savings must be readily accessible. They've got to be available. They've got to be trying to beat inflation because, as I mentioned earlier on, if that school is going up at 8% per annum, we want to try and find some investment that can keep up with that. Very difficult in these times as well. But the thinking is to lean on investment vehicles that are liquid and are flexible. You can add to them. You can take away from them very quickly. You can stop and start them. So we go into the space of unit trusts.
Okay.
Which are very useful because, again, in those kinds of investment vehicles, you can stop and start. You can put a little bit more in and get into the mentality of maybe opening up this account with a similar type of investment that that I've spoken about and just try add to it, whether it's a little extra every month. When granny and grandpa come around for that birthday party or want to spoil the child with all those branded things, rather start sitting and having a conversation with them and saying, look, instead of giving, you know, the top end Nike branded clothing on the birthday, maybe we can compromise a bit and take some of that money and put it back into this fund. Mm. And what we give is we build this education fund of our own for the child's future, but with all those little extras. You know, Christmas is coming around the corner, the festive season. Maybe we should just be adding to that from all the family and friends. So it's kind of there that you've got to be very aware of how much is this going to subsidize, if not cover the costs of my child's education. And I think if you get into there, you can find other vehicles as well. Tax-free savings accounts are very useful too. So it's not so much what I do with the savings. I think the first stop is, am I going to save? And let me build up that mentality of saving as much as I possibly can. But be very, very guarded. I need to access it along the way.
Yes.
So don't be locked up in these products that are going to give you, you know, an 18-year horizon in terms of how you know the contract sort of sets itself upwards. Right? Stay on the short term and leave the liquidity be free.
What about access bonds, Paul? How your approach to that and how you advise around
that's a favorite topic of ours. It's become one over the years. But that's only for the very disciplined sector. Because, you know, as great as that access bond is, and even now with the MPC drop increasing interest rates on Thursday by 0.25%, even that now becomes even better because you're knocking off a debt which is on your doorstep. But by parking it in the access bond, you effectively are reversing the formula. You're actually now saving whatever your bank is charging you. And you build up quite a lot of equity or a lot of savings at that too. At the same time, you bring back the term of the bond as well. So it allows you now to put extra money in, and as and when you need it, you can pull it out very quickly. It's free because there are no costs involved. There's no tax involved in it. You know, you save in those other vehicles. There is some form of tax that's applied. And at the end of the day, too, you're also diminishing the term of your bond over time, depending on how much you leave there over the years. Mm-hmm. And I think that presents an excellent vehicle for most families because it's on call. And I don't think you can find too many other investments that can give you those kinds of benefits.
Yeah. But as you say, you need to be disciplined or have a disciplined partner. That's key to all of that.
Mm-hmm. The temptation is so much. Yeah, it's on your doorstep. Mm-hmm. And for the less disciplined person, you can find all sorts of reasons why you have to draw.
Absolutely. Tim, why am I calling you Tim? Sorry. Paul, something you've just touched on actually, which is obviously quite key to our immediate lived experience, is that repo rate increase by the Monetary Policy Committee, right? We got that announcement on Thursday. Increased by 25 basis points. Just a quick reminder around, and we did speak about this earlier this year. This repo rate, I'll call it holiday, that we've enjoyed during this time, this lull. Things are changing. The landscape is changing. A reminder to households in terms of servicing that debt and approach to debt as well, whilst we're still at the low end of this pendulum.
Well, it's definitely a plan for you in the short term. Get rid of debt as quickly as you possibly can, because I think it marks the signal of the interest rate cycle turning upwards. It's not just a once-off. I think this speaks to inflation, which is starting to show its head. It's a reaction to that. And it's not only us, it's worldwide as well.
Yes.
So the trend of inflation moving upwards is definitely there. Therefore, the holiday, as you called it, with low interest rates. I mean, that interest rate that we had, you know, the bottom of this cycle was the lowest in nearly 40 years.
Mm.
And it was an ideal opportunity for you for any extra cash to get rid of that debt. Because as the interest rates move up, the cost of debt is going to follow. And that's going to eat into our budgets as well. So the signal there really is, certainly as we spoke a couple of shows ago, don't go further into debt now. But have a good look at whatever debt you've got and start knocking it off the balance sheet, so to speak. You know, a little extra into each one of those debts is going to reduce the term and ultimately the cost of that debt. Mm. And you will probably talk about this in January in terms of how to get out of debt, because, you know, that's a traditional sort of month of debt. But basically, just be very aware. Don't go further into debt, because the interest rate cycle is certainly moving upwards.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you so much for that important conversation. Paul, looking forward to our catch-up next Sunday. That's Paul Rilliff, a certified financial planner.